All right, so we're up to Siman Reish Samachay. So Reish Samachay is a little bit odd because it seems like the Tur and the Beis and the Shulchan Aruch switch the order, and the Beis Yosef also switches the order. So if you're looking in the Tur / Beis Yosef, so the first section is how the Sif opens up in the Shulchan Aruch, where it says the bracha on the Mila. The confusing part, and the part that is taught for the duration of Sif Aleph, is that there's actually three brachos that are made on the Bris Mila. There is a bracha first, Asher Kiddushanu Tzavet Tzivanu Al HaMila. Then there is a bracha of Lachniso Bevriso Shel Avram Avinu, which is unclear what that bracha is, or where it come from, or what category of bracha it falls into. And then there is the other bracha of Asher Kiddush Yedid Mibeten, which is done at the conclusion of the Bris. And truth is, it's unclear where that comes from also. We know where it comes from. It comes from a Gemara. The Gemara appears at the end of the Maseches Shabbos in the Perek of Rabbi Elazar de Mila, so the last Mishnah where it talks about Mila and then Priya, and then the Gemara there discusses the actual action after discussing the laws of Bris Mila for an entire Perek of the Gemara. Finally, at the end, it gives you the halachos about how a Bris Mila is actually done. So if you look in the Beis Yosef, I don't know, Richard, you're probably using an older Beis Yosef. Oh, okay, fine. So we'll try to get to the Shulchan Aruch as soon as possible. So maybe the key part then is this discussion of Lachniso Bevriso Shel Avram Avinu. All right. So let's start from there. So in the Beis Yosef, sorry, Richard, we'll try to get through this. But in the Beis Yosef and Sif, there is on the second page, right? If you begin on Sadi Tes, on the next page, Kuf, towards the bottom, there's an Aleph with a Beis in parentheses with it, right? Towards the bottom of the page. And there it quotes from the Tur, which is quoted from the Gemara, that the father of the son, that's getting brist, makes a bracha of Lachnisu Bevriso Shel Avram, that makes this additional bracha. So that's coming from a Gemara in Rabbi Eliezer de Mila in a Brisa. And the Gemara there, and the Rishonim comment, which the Beis Yosef records here, Kasavar Rabbeinu Manoach, Yish Or Mekashav Atzmo Malas Beno, Einu Mevarach Lachniso. That's only because, and what we still don't know exactly what the reason is, but the father is generally not the one doing the Bris Mila itself. So generally, in most mitzvos, the person who's obligated to do the mitzvah, and the one who is fulfilling the mitzvah is also the one doing the mitzvah. And even when you do appoint the shliach, so all right, it's not like a necessary component of the mitzvah. So, for example, if I go to someone's house and put up all of their mezuzahs for them, so it's really their mitzvah, but I'm their shliach, so I make the bracha. Often, especially if the person is one of these people that are following me around, so I'll tell them to make the bracha on the first mezuzah and hammer in the first one or stick up the first one, and then I'll go ahead and do the rest. But but there's no like important component of the laws of mezuzah that we're generally gonna call up this guy and have him put them all up for me, right? Mila. That is either not necessarily a nesbia, are certainly many people who have done brisim for their own children, but it's still kind of recognized by the Rabbanim that most bris milos are not going to be done by the father himself. So it sounds like that's the reason that this extra bracha was added. So what about if a father is doing the bracha for themselves? So this Rabbeinu Manoach says that, well, if the father himself is doing it, there's no need for it. And we never find elsewhere that we make two brachos on one mitzvah. Now, I'm not sure that that's completely true either, right? We could probably think of a few that we make multiple brachos on the mitzvah, but it's kind of like those are all exceptions to the rule, right? We make multiple brachos on Megillas Esther, we make multiple brachos on Hanukkah candles, right? But somehow those are all exceptions to the rule, right? The rule is that one bracha is made. So therefore, if he's doing it for himself, he's going to he's only going to make one bracha. However, he continues, "V'minug levarach lachniso afilu kasha'av atzmo malo." But the minug is that the father makes both brachos, and Rav Abudraham says that as well in the name of the Ravid, and the Gaos Maimini also writes this, Kasu b'shem Rabbeinu Simcha, lo yadati mativ bracha la'achniso. So I'm not really sure what this idea is of this bracha of la'achniso. V'chilo sagi b'hai sheshluchei mevarech al hamila, right? Why is it not enough just to have the shliach make the bracha on the mila, right? Just like the mezuzah and more guy will make a bracha on mezuzah. So he says, V'shema kevan sha'amoel below av, shayich b'mitzvos hamila. And he says, perhaps, because the moel without the father is connected to the mitzvah of mila, as we learn in the beginning of Gemara and Kedushin. Meaning everybody sort of has, and we sort of came across this already a little bit before, everybody has a connection to the mitzvah of Mila, because it is, if the father doesn't do it, it is a communal responsibility. So therefore the Moel does have some amount of responsibility, and therefore has some amount of chiyuv that we're going to connect them. So Hilkach Tak. So we'll get to the normal course of events later. He actually comes later. But there's two brachos that are indicated by the Gemara. If you go to a bris, the Zman Hazeh, right, the father, the Moel, it lines everything up, makes the bracha, Asher Kishan Savet Sivanu Al Hamila, does the cut, and at some point right away, the father also makes the bracha of Lachnisu Bevriso Shel Avram Avinu. The exact placement and timing of that bracha is a dispute that's going to get later. It will get to later.
So the purpose of the second bracha is to give the father something to do.
So that's almost what it sounds like. Well, let's continue the second half of this Agos Maimoni that's quoted in the Beis Yosef. He says, K'damimim Parakam Dekedishin, Hilkach Takinu Le Rabranan Bracha Acheres La'av. Therefore, because one could almost make a case that the Moel is taking a claim on the mitzvah, the Rabbanim established a separate bracha for the father to make. Right? So it does, almost to that, right, as I didn't think of it in quite in Joel's terms, but we could phrase it like that, to give the father something to do, right, in order to demonstrate that he has an integral role to play within this mitzvah. So v'malu ha'av u'beruch lachniso sagi le'bahachi. And so, in theory, if the father actually did the mila and only made the bracha of lachniso bevris, that would be sufficient. Mihu kevan dekfar takinu l'mol, but yet we already have made the takana. Like, it's already the rule that we make these two brachos, levarech al mila lo yishana matbeya u'mavarech shtayim ad kan l'shono. Therefore, we're going to go ahead and make two brachos. That's what the Gaos Maimoni concludes. So even though one can make a case that if the father is doing the bris, you would only make the bracha of Asher Kidishanu, you could also make the case that if the father is doing the bris, he would only make the bracha of Lachnisu Bivriso. The minog is that if there's a moel separate from the father, the moel is going to make the first bracha and the father the second. That's clear. And even if the father is doing the bris, the minog, as far as I know everywhere, is that the father will then go ahead and make both brachos under those circumstances. There is an interesting Darche Moshe here, if you go on that page. And why exactly it's here, it's a little questionable. He's kind of a little bit in the middle of nowhere, but he does that in, that, plus he's also quoting from the same Hagos Maimoni, that Afal gav de minog de gam ha'av ha'moel ba'atzma varach ha'amil mikomokum verach lamol yatza. If you make the wrong bracha, I mean, instead of saying al hamila, you say lamol, meaning the father changes the language. And this is a general question in Hilchos Brachos that comes up here. If the way you're doing the mitzvah is a little bit different than the way the bracha is worded, right? Do you change the bracha, or do we say, no, the bracha is established that way, we're going to do it? The most famous, the most prominent example of that, anybody can think of, is something also kind of in the news recently, and that is by Tfilas Kalim, right? So the bracha that is on the wall in the mikvah is Asher Kishan Savanu al Tfilas Kalim. Right, so then there's a whole machlokas about what about if you're only going to be tovel one kli? So does the bracha change to al hakli, or do we continue with al hakelim? So I believe on most mikvah walls it actually has in parentheses and only one mikvah you say al hakelim. I think the minhag is not that way though. I think the minhag is I think the aruch Jaizul looked it up. I believe the minhag is more to keep the matbeyas, to keep the form of the brachos, even if it doesn't exactly line up, which is what the Darchei Moshe is saying here also. Meaning the mo'al makes the bracha al hamila, where Hashem commanded us to do mila. He didn't necessarily command me to do this mila, but are doing al hamila. What about if it's the father? Someone can make a case. We'll change the bracha to Hashem commanded me to give a bris to this child, right? So the Darchei Moshe suggests that some did that, but if you did that, you're yotze, but I don't think he's recommending it. Then he also continues on and says, I found the Hagos Alfasi, Rabbi Elazar de Mila, Daf Kufay and Vav, Tsarach Lios Asara the Bris Mila, that there should be 10 people at a Bris Mila. Why? Demadmin Tino Kanimol Liyotsimi Beisai Surim. Because it's comparable, for the baby, this experience is comparable to leaving prison. I could think of some other comparisons, but for the baby, we're comparing it to leaving prison, and therefore should tsarech lahodos ba'ape yasara, and therefore he should give hoda like in front of 10 people, the equivalent of making hagomel. So gomel should have 10 people there, and therefore we say hodu in berchas mila because we're sort of thanks for having this opportunity to do this. Was the fisha bracha b'shvil atinok matim in lo kos shel bracha v'chazav od sham b'shem rav tzemach gon has been an asara hainu l'persumi mitzvah. It's an idea of publicizing the miracle, the mitzvah. But if there's not 10 people, so then it's okay. And that's the way we assume. And pretty much every bris for the last month has been performed with less than 10 people there. There's some more other interesting coronavirus bris mila shilas that we'll cover a little bit tonight, but that's one of them. You don't need 10 people for a bris. It's a little bit more of a shila whether you need 10 people for a wedding. That we probably do need on last week's headlines. So the whole thing was just sort of David Lichtenstein interviewing Rav Schachter. So I listened to it earlier today while running around and keeping my social distance from everyone else in the park. And one of the questions there was about a wedding without 10 people present. And the idea is that the Sheva Brachos perhaps need a minion. Meaning you could do Birchas de Irisin without a minion. But to do Sheva Brachos, that in Halacha it says that one should have a minion. So then there's a further question as to whether that's Ma'akiv or not. Right? Okay, so let's say you can't do Sheva Brachos. Can you still consider them married or not? So that's also Machlokas Rishonim. So I think the accepted thing has been to get a minion somehow together for a wedding. Recently, but not for Bris Mila. Bris Mila, I think people have been keeping those separate, as we just saw. That's ideally one should have a minion, but it's not Ma'akev. Okay. One other issue here. So then, with regards to the timing, so that's the other big question. So we're continuing on in the Beis Yosef. If you go to the next page, on page Kuf Beis. So by the way, just a quick note I saw recently about the Hagos Maimoni. Historically, the Hagos Maimoni is a collection of Hasidi Ashkenaz, right? I believe the Hagos Maimoni was a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg, I think. I think that was what it was. So in one of Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik's essays, it's entitled, Why is it that the... So it's a good title also. Is that it? No. Was that it? I think was that the right essay? No. He has an essay where he points out that in France and in Germany there it is, the halachic isolation of the Ashkenazic community. It's in volume 1. So it's about how the Ashkenaz, how Bali Tosfos, the Bali Tosfos lived after the Rambam, right? And the Bali Tosfos presumably came across a Rambam at some point, but yet the Bali Tosfos never quote the Rambam. I think there might be one or two times in the entire Shas that Tosfos quotes a Rambam. right? So why is that? And he suggests that they just didn't. That is, like, it wasn't cool to quote people from outside. The goal of the Bali Tosos was not so much to figure out halacha as much as it was to figure out the Gemara. And if you're not working on the Gemara, then, like, you're not cool, right? So even though the Ram might have had relevance to halacha, that wasn't their style, and therefore they just simply did not quote anyone else. The one exception to that is the Hagos Maimini. The goal of the Hagos Maimini, which is a commentary on the Rambam that sort of is, one almost thinks of it in the opposite way. It's to kind of bring the Hasidi Ashkenaz to learn the Rambam in reality, right? To bring them on the page of the Rambam. In reality, it was the opposite. In reality, the goal was to kind of bring the Rambam to Ashkenaz. But it wasn't very successful, as Dr. Soloveitchik continues to point out. So anyways, there is a Tosfos between, where he quotes the Machlokas then, between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam, who were brothers-in-law, right? They were both Rashi's sons. Right, so Rabbeinu Tam was a grandson. I believe the Rashbam and, no, at least first cousins or brothers, between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam, where the Rashbam, the Gemara itself says that the Gemara spells it out like we do it, that the father makes the, I have the Gemara right here. Okay, so the way it's spelled out on the page is Hamal Omer Hakadosh Asher Kisham Savet Sivano Al Hamila. This is on Kuf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, that the one doing the bris makes the bracha of Asher Kisham Savet Sivano Al Hamila. Avia Ben Omer Asher Kisham Savet Sivano Lach Nisu Bivriso Shal Avram Avinu. That's what it says in the Gemara. Now, what it leaves out in the Gemara is when the bris actually takes place, right? It doesn't actually say that on the page of the Gemara, and in fact, the Rashbam is quoted in Tosfos as saying the opposite, that the father first makes his bracha of Asher Kidushan Lachnisu Bivriso, and the Moel then goes and makes the bracha of Asher Kidushanu Bivrisosav Vitzivanu. So then the Tosfos continues on, and that's what's quoted in the Beis Yosef here. Right? So Rashbam Rabbeinu Tam, Aksuvas Vitosfos, Va'arash Vaharan, Vaparak Rabbi Yezer Demila, Vahilashenu Tosfos, Rabbeinu Shmuel, Garis Aviha ben Beresha, Vahadar Hamal Omer. That first he has the father of the son making his bracha, and then the Moel goes and makes his bracha. Ukfar Hinig Lasoske, and that's the minig Lavarach Aviha ben Kodem Hamila. That's the minig that he records. Mishum Dachniso Lahava Mashma, because Dachniso is on the future. Right, Mishum Dalachnisu Lahavam. I mean, I'm going to bring him into the bris of Avram Avinu. It's in the future. But oh, the chol mitzvos, and like all mitzvos, varach aleim over liasiyasin. You go ahead and make the bracha before you go ahead and do it. Rabbeinu Tam hichzir haminig. Rabbeinu Tam brought back the minig to the way it was. Likadmuso v'garis hamal bereisha v'hadar aviya ben kemosha kasu b'chol asvar. That he said no. That he had the girsa like we have it of the moel goes first. And then the father of the son makes his bracha. V'chei mucha kula sugya v'hadar min kol ha-mitzvos mevarach aleim over le'asiyasan. And he says, aye, but all mitzvos you should make before you do them. He says, hani mil, that's only when k'shemavarach atzmo ose mitzvah. When the one doing the bracha does the mitzvah. But in this case, he's not actually doing the mitzvah, so therefore the bracha doesn't have to be before the bris is done. V'aran kasev de'ein bracha zu b'chlal ma'asham mevarach aleim over le'asiyasan. And Ran said, this is a different kind of bracha. Right, the Eina Ela Shevach V'Hoda Ba'Alma Al Shezachu L'Hachnisu Bevriso Shalav Ravina. Was this not a Birchas HaMitzvah? Rather, this is a bracha of praising Hashem, thanking Hashem for the opportunity to be able to bring the child into mitzvos. There's one more idea as to what the reason for this bracha is, which I saw here before someplace, and that is that it's almost like a mitzvah, a bracha, on all of the mitzvos that the father has for the son. that the father has all of the mitzvah, on all the mitzvahs the father is going to do in order to raise the child to mitzvahs. So in order to teach him a trade and teach, you know, teach him Torah and make sure that he gets married. I mean, all of those responsibilities that are incumbent upon the father, so when does that bracha get made? And he suggests that it's all that mitzvah, that bracha of lachnisu bevriso shel Avram Avin. Okay, so with that, we can maybe head to the Shulchan Aruch itself and see how this plays out. So in the Shulchan Aruch itself, Simen Reish Samech Hei Sif Aleph. So we say as follows: Hamal Mevarich Asher Ki Yusham Savet Sivanu Al Hamila. That the Mal, the Moel, makes the bracha like we do it. Va'via Ben Mevarich Ben Chatichus Ha'Orla Lepriya. And the father does the bracha between the cutting of the Orla and the Priya. So as we spoke about the last 2 weeks, there's these two different portions of the Mila. In theory, you could divide it up amongst two different people. So the Shulchan Aruch suggests that the father do it right in the middle of the two. Asher Kisham Savitzivanu, Lachnisu Bivriso Shel Avram Avinu. And that's the bracha that he then adds in between the two processes. So the problem is for us, is that we don't have the two different processes, right? We do it all at the same time, right? As we discussed, the Mila and the Priya both get done with one cut at the same, simultaneously. So when does the father then go ahead and make this bracha? So if you look in the Shach here, the Shach explains what's going on. I mean, why is it being done in the middle? So some Rishonim say it should be done before, some Rishonim say it should be done after. So suggests the Shach, Mishum Diyesh Poskim Levarach Kodem Amila, Mishum Dekol Mitzvos Kulam Levarach Aleim Over the Asi Yasan, Viyesh Poskim Levarach Achar Amila, and there are some Poskim who say to do it after the Mila, Shema Yimla Chamoel Velo Yimel, that perhaps the, why would it make sense to do the bracha after the mila takes place? So the Shach suggests, and this is in Tosos, because right, what are you doing? You're paying off the moel you're having the moel be your shliach. So how are you so sure that the shliach is going to go ahead and do it? Right, you can make a bracha before you go ahead and do the mitzvah when you're the one who's going to be going ahead and doing the mitzvah. But if you don't have full control, so you can't make that bracha until the mitzvah is done. So that's the reason for the Rishonim who say that the bracha should be done, should be said after the mitzvah is done. So, and some, Achar Mila, Shema Yimel Chamol V'lo Yimel, V'havi Bracha L'Vatela, Hilkach Mevarchin Achar Amila, therefore we make the bracha after the Mila, before the Priya, V'chashiv Shapar Overly Asiyasan, it's still considered Overly Asiyasan, because you're still in the midst of the mitzvah, the Mal V'lo Parak Il Lo Mal, because Mal and Lo Par, it's as if you didn't do the Mila, right? So therefore you still have to do the rest of it. L'Shema Yimlach Lo Chayshinan came to Kfar Mal. And we're not concerned that the mole is going to walk away, because he already did the Mila. He's not going to walk away before he does the Priya. Miu Imberach Kodem Chatichas Orlo Achar Priya Yatze B'dievet Vein Tzarech Lasso Mevarich. However, if you make the bracha before the cut of the orla or after the priya, you're still yotzei anyways, and you don't have to go back and make another bracha. So that's part of the instructions that the moel gives to the father of the son, that I'm going to make the bracha and start the cut, and as soon as the cut takes less than a second, right? So as soon as I finish my bracha, you go ahead and do your bracha. And he's doing it in the middle, but the reality is he's doing it right after. He's doing it right at the moment that the mila is taking place. I mean, he's still making the bracha before the mitzitza takes place, before the sucking takes place. So he's still certainly within the context of the mila. When he makes the bracha. So that's what the Mo'el says. As soon as I finish making my bracha, you're going to go ahead and make your bracha. I remember at Tuvia's bris, I'm also the rabbi, and the Mo'el didn't say anything to me. and not that I forgot the halacha, but I forgot, kind of where I'm standing right there at, seeing the bris happen, I totally escaped my mind to make that other bracha. So I remember kind of watching, and all of a sudden the Rosh Kol there shoved me in the back, oh yeah, right, and went ahead and made that second bracha. But so it's good, even if the father perhaps knows what he's doing, at that point, Richard knows how I do with blood. So at that point, there's no telling as to what he may forget and what he won't. So that's an important thing to happen. There is an interesting Aruch HaShulchan that I that I came across about this, where so what point is considered overly asiyasan? So even that is a little bit of a question. As we pointed out last week, right, one can make a case that the beginning of the mila is already when the moel is prodding to loosen up the skin, right? That maybe is already part of the mila. So that's not our minhag. Our minhag is that we wait for everything to be wrapped up and behind the clamp, and that makes the bracha right away, does the cut, so that it happens very, very quickly. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out, and I don't know what Moalim do today, and again, the Aruch HaShulchan might have been operating on a different style of Mila, but the Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, so therefore everything should be lined up, and right before you cut, you make the bracha. However, he says, I've seen that many of the Moalim start cutting while they're still making the bracha. That's what he says. He says, over that, says, V'ra'isi ha-Moalim shemavarachim be'is ha-chituch, and one of the Gedolim started yelling about this. In parentheses, it says Chaf Ches Chaf Aleph, which I assume stands for the Chachmas Adam, right? So one of the I don't know who added that in, if the Aruch HaShulchan did or someone else did, but one of the Gedolim was yelling about this. He says, I don't think you have to argue about, you have to yell so much. One can make a case that that actually is the correct minhag. He says, because certainly you're finishing the bracha while the cutting is happening, so it's still considered overly asiyasan. And he says, and it's similar to hamotzi, where the halacha is by hamotzi, you start the cut before you make the bracha. There should be already a cut that is being made in order to sort of make it the bracha closer to the time that you're eating it, to even tighten things up even more so. On Shabbos, we don't really do that so much, because on Shabbos, we want to have Shlemus, but the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim Chelek Beis, to already, like, start to make a larger cut within the bread before you eat it. So he compares it to that. So therefore, maybe even to make it a little bit closer, is better. And he says, and he even finds a Tashbetz, one of the Rishonim, Sheisraim Lehefech, that yelled the other way. He yelled at those people that make the bracha before the Mila. And he wrote, Koma she'efshar lismuch bracha lemitzvah, hu roi lasso. So whatever you can do to make things as close as possible to the mitzvah, you should do. Lefiza lachtucha orla levarich hu yoser tov, k'disha yifra samuch lebracha. Therefore, to cut off the orla and then make the bracha is even better, because that will be closer. You're making the bracha right in the midst of doing the mitzvah. Chew! Chew! So, okay, thank you. So, samuch lebracha dechatecha orla eina gemara mitzvah demal velo park ilu lo mal. And he says that is actually our minuk, to cut the orla and make the bracha at that point. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, so it seems like what our moalim, who seem to do a little bit of the cut while they're still making the bracha, they're doing like the middle path, and he thinks that that's all good. Now, I don't know, I didn't have a chance, I was going to ask Rabbi Eisenman what the minhag is. I'm not sure what the minhag is. I don't know of others. The way it's quoted in Piskei Tshuvos is that you should make the bracha before you do the cut. And there are some who say that you should do it together, and he quotes the Aruch HaShulchan. But the Aruch HaShulchan is not just some who say. The Aruch HaShulchan is a pretty chashuv person in terms of psak. So I'm not sure what the minhag ha-moalim is bizman hazeh. The Ramah then quotes the halacha here of, and this is, you know, like, how could this be? But certainly we can imagine it happening back in the good old days, and now we see it happening today. Let's say the father is not by the Mila. Because someone else should make the bracha, because the Beis Din is commanded to do the bris, so someone else would do it. That the one who's holding the nar, who is that? Sounds like the sandik. That if the father is not able to do the bracha, so then the sandik would. There are those. I remember at Rabbi Brennan, I was at the bris of Rabbi Brennan's son, and he was mechubed himself with being sandik. I was like, really? Apparently, that's a thing. That father, that in Chabad, that often not, it's not unusual for the father himself to be the tzaddik, and obviously then to make the bracha also. And certainly, if the father's here, doesn't know how to make the bracha, so you would have the tzaddik make the bracha. Then the Abba Amol Kishem Avarchim Tzrichin Lamod, they should stand. The Val HaTofei Sanar, the Sandik, if he's making the bracha, he would sit. And the Sandik sits. And Yeshom Shekola Am Shehem Eitzal Mili Yam, everybody stands. Shenimar Yundua Am Bebris, that everybody stands by the bris. V'chein Noagim Milvad HaTofeis Minar Shehu Yoshev, except for the one holding the Nar, who is sitting. V'machayrim, continuing the Machabri, V'machayrim Omdim Sham, Omrim Kishem Sheikh Nasi Lebris Kini Tichkein, Tachnisehu Litoral Chupal Maisim Tovim. We say that maybe a little bit different, but everybody responds. This is actually in the Gemara itself, that the father makes the bracha of Lachnisu Bebriso, and everybody responds by saying this, just as you brought him to the bris, so you bring him to Torah Chupal Maisim Tovim, which perhaps has to do with that idea before, right? That maybe that bracha is not just a bracha on the Mila, but a bracha on all the mitzvahs that the father is going to do on behalf of the child. So Vavia ben Oamoel, O Echan Me'am, Mivarich ala Kosbar Piagefen, Lo Shemek Bracha Bar Piagefen, Yeshnoagim Litul Hadam Biyado, Hadas Biyado Mivarich Alav, that is a minute by the Svarim, to take Hadas and make a Bracha of the Sabim there. Mivarich ala Riachom, Bracha Dashem Akim Machacher, Kadeshi Didn Beten, and then there's this other myth Bracha, which is a little unclear where it comes from. Vinoagim Kashimagia live in the Mayachai, no se mea yain be'etzbo befiatinuk, to take from the wine and drop in the mouth of the tinok. And then it adds in, by the way, the moel, if he's going to make this bracha, he should wash his hands first. Right? Wash his hands and his mouth first. Right? His hands because they were involved with the mila, and his mouth because he did mitzitza, presumably. So he should be all cleaned up if he's going to be the one that's going to go ahead and make this bracha. Just also in Yoni Diyoma with regards to this issue, so in the Psakim Luchuvos, it quotes an interesting issue about what if the father is not present. The Ramah said if the father is not present, someone else makes the bracha of Lachnisu Bivrisu Shel Avraham Avinu. What about if the father knows exactly when the Mila is taking place? Or if the father knows, presumably he knows when the Mila is taking place. So he quotes here from Rav Yashiv. Right, so he quotes from in the Sefer Mila Shlomo. It's quoting the Pesachim Mitzvos and Mila Shlomo. He adds in here that Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg held that he could only make the bracha of Shechianu. He shouldn't make a bracha of Lachnisa, but Rav Yashiv held that he could do it. And then he adds in here in a footnote, he says, the Eshel Avram, from Buchach, which is the other Eshel Avram, which is only in the back of some Shulchan Aruchs, not in all of them, but he says that even if the father, even if the father knows when the bris is taking place, meaning the father is not present, but he knows that it's going to take place at 9 o'clock in the morning. So the Eshel Avram was the Rav in Buchach in the 1800s, right? So the father is someplace else. He's told it's going to be at a time, but he's not going to be there. How does he know whether it's actually taking place? So that's why he rejects the father making the bracha of Achniso Bevriso remotely. But presumably, nowadays, if the father is able to know exactly when the bris is taking place because he's listening to it on the phone or he's watching it on Zoom, right? So presumably, even the Eshel Avram Mibuchach would agree that the father can make the bracha of Lachnisu Bevriso even if he is remote. I didn't see anybody handle this with regards to the issue of coronavirus. The closest thing that I saw is if you go to YU Torah, so the Rav Schechter has been releasing chuvos that he's written. I'm feeling someone else might have written them or put them together in Hebrew or in Hebrew and English, and it looks like the English is a translation until you realize that the English is really just a summary and the Hebrew is much longer and developed. But specifically chuvos with regards to the coronavirus issues. So one of the shailas that is raised, you can find on YU Torah, is the issue of naming girls. Right? What do we do about naming girls? Right? So they just be left without a name. until you can end up in shul. So Rav Schechter said, no, it's not necessary. Presumably, the whole idea that girls get a name in a minyan is based on the idea that boys get a name in the minyan. So, but boys don't really need a name in a minyan. That's a minug that we do. But as we spoke about in the past, if the, for some reason the bris is going to be postponed for a while, so the boy should get a bris, should get his name earlier. Rav Moshe says that people could daven for him. So Rav Schechter said, look, if you can't do the baby naming in shul, so you do it at home, or don't do it at all. I mean, the baby gets its name because the parents are calling it a specific name. So it would be presumably the same thing by the boys also. But Rav Schechter also add in that the bracha of Asher Kiddush Yatid Mibeten, that can't be done remotely. Meaning Kriyas Shem could be done remotely, and Asher Kiddush can't. So this David Lichtenstein actually had a grandson that was born to Eliada. His son-in-law is Eliada Goldwith. I don't know what the girl's name is. So he had a son who was born two, 3 weeks ago. And so David Lichtenstein was zoomed into the bris and was able to do Kriyas Hashem over Zoom. But if the opposite happens, I mean, what happens if the father is not able to be present because of some kind of coronavirus issue? Would he then make the bracha of Lachnisu Bivriso remotely? So it seems like Rav Yashiv would say yes. I don't know what Rav Schechter would say, because Rav Schechter said specifically that brachos have to be present, but it could be that the bracha of Lachnisu is a bracha on the father, it's not a bracha about the bris. So I'm not sure. Leave that as a tzarachin, although I'm sure the issue has come up over the last few weeks in the difficult period that we're in. All right, so any quick questions? Because I realize the time and I got to get to this conference call. But any questions, observations? All right, Yeshe Koach. So we'll pick up Mirza Hashem after Pesach.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a quick question about telling the
Chavetz. Yes.